Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 279.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 279. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Wow. So there's Thanksgiving tomorrow and Black Friday on Friday. And it's an amazing time right now. If you are listening to this and you've been following Jazz Piano School and you're a Jazz Piano School fan, then you'll know I'm kind of like dumping a lot of education on you right now. I'm still getting over a cold, which I apologize in advance about throughout this podcast, but show's got to go on. And the accelerator program, which started back in June, is finishing up with the students inside of that. And so that's been absolutely amazing. I can't wait to share their progress with you. It's all recorded, documented, which is really, really fun. And for a number of different reasons, not to just to see the progress, but to really see and relate to how the jazz piano journey goes. I mean, I think a lot of us feel very alone. We feel like we're oddballs out. We feel like we're the dumb ones, kind of. We're the stupid ones. We're not capable of making progress, incapable ones of making any sort of progress. But that's just not the case, right? We are all in the same boat. We are all experiencing the same, you know, trials and tribulations that everyone else does. And it's the same for everybody. And that was one of the major benefits from running that accelerator program, that you listening right there, right now, whoever you are, if you're listening to me right now, you're not the only one that struggles and has a difficult time learning anything, right? Any of the podcasts I turn out, any material I put out there, any education, if you're a member, right, learning all the education inside of Jazz Piano School, you're not alone in struggling to pick up these things in a efficient way, in an efficient manner, and integrate them. Everyone has a hard time doing that, right? And it's just a process. But the only thing we can do is smile, relax, breathe, right? And just enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey, right? Because at the end of the day, it's music. It's music, and we should always enjoy the journey of music. So, I went on a little tangent there. But anyway, the accelerator program is great. That's finishing up. But again, what's happening right now is I'm transitioning into a lot of improvisational materials, as you're probably seeing. And again, if you're still following the podcast, if you're on the email list, you're probably seeing that and, experiencing that. But this Black Friday, right, in 2 days, if you're listening to the podcast on Wednesday, the pre-release for the Improvisational Mastery Beginner to Pro and Everything in Between specialty course is going to be available with our Black Friday offer, and the new product line of boot camp classes, Zoom classes, I'm going to be launching in January is going to be available as well. A free ticket into the very first 2-week online Zoom boot camp class, which is, of course, is going to be on improvisation as well. A free ticket to that is going to be available in our Black Friday offer as well, which is really, really, really cool. A lot of fun things happening. And what else? Just be on the lookout for that. Obviously, if you're on the email list, then, you'll get news about that. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com to get on our email list. I think that's the best way to do that. If you just go to any of the blog posts or podcasts and scroll to the bottom, there's a little area you can fill out. Or if you download any of the ebooks or anything like that, our resources that'll put you on there as well and get you updated on all the information that you may need. But lots of fun stuff coming out. I hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving. If you are around the world somewhere, you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you just have a wonderful Thursday tomorrow, right? Because this is Wednesday right now. So besides that, I'm going to show you an amazing improvisational exercise that I've been teaching all my accelerator students. I started practicing and using this a long time ago. I actually remember I was very young. I was about 18 or 19, I think. And this particular exercise, I've always gone back to because it's been the number one exercise, improv exercise that has really, really helped me hone in on my improvisational lines, my connections, my fluidity of all that stuff. And it's just fantastic. Now, it's going to seem simple. It may seem simple to you, but it's not. And the more you can spend time with it, the more you can utilize it and integrate it and just like get used to it and using it and working with it, the better off you're going to be. And you're going to see some serious improvisational progress happen when you start to use this. Okay? So with that being said, let's dive in. All right. So here is the number one jazz piano improvisation exercise that I recommend you use. What's going to happen here? That's my Rhodes. Fun, huh? What's going to happen here is we're going to be connecting chords. And there's going to be multiple levels to using this exercise. But at the heart of it, what we're doing is connecting chords and landing on chord tones and just getting that connection to happen. And so, again, I'm going to go through a lot of different levels, a lot of different ways to use this. And I'm going to start as a beginner. Now, if you're a beginner, you're going to want to just start by connecting maybe a minor seventh to a dominant chord, because in a 2-5-1, you're going to see this all the time. So I want you to start on a chord tone. We're going to play all eighth notes for the time being. And I want you to move up and count to yourself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Now, when the exercise starts to get to beat 4-ish, like 4, right, and a 3, 4, your brain has to start thinking, okay, how am I going to get to a chord tone? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Right, so when I'm at beat 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm like, okay, where are the nearest chord tones? Well, I'm actually on 1 for the G7 chord. Now, our chord tones, if I didn't mention, are the 4 notes within the chord I'm playing. So I'm on a chord tone on beat 4. How do I get to a chord tone? I'm on 1, so I could pivot back to that, which is the one I chose, or I could go down to G, which I could go 4 and 1. But we're training our brain. We're training our brain because this has to happen. And we're training spontaneity in our hands to figure out this issue as it's happening in real time. Now, if I go up 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm always figuring out this riddle, this problem, not problem, I should say, this puzzle when I'm soloing in jazz. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Right? So now I just figured it out. But this is the exercise. I know it sounds very simple, but again, I'm going to get into more advanced ways to use this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Now, all I would do from here on out, if you're a beginner, is without the metronome or anything else like that, just go through the different chord tones of a chord and start to move up and down in scalar motions and try and connect it to other chord tones of the next chord. So in this case, I'm going from a D minor 7 to a G 7. So let me start on the 7 now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. So I just connected to the root of the chord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. I just connected to the 7. Now, if you want to get really regimented about this, you can pick and systematically order the chord tones you're going to connect to. So you can start from the root of the first chord and go to the root of the second chord somehow. You just got to figure it out, because the figuring out process is literally the practicing of spontaneity. This is what has to happen in jazz. You're actually practicing improvisation, spontaneity. One and two and three and four and one. So there we go. I just figured it out. And then you can play a little faster, get used to it, swing it a little bit. One and two and three and four and one, right? And you can go systematically through all the chord tones if that's the type of person you are, right? So the root, I just went to root. I can go root to third now. All this is inside of Jazz Piano School, by the way. If you are a member, you can move through these exercises. One and two and three and four and one. Right, now I landed on the third of the next chord. Now I'm going to go for the five. One and two and three and four and five and one. And we're not playing 4-5, right? Now I'm going to go to the seven. One and two and three and four. Now check it out. And one. So I do have to make a skip there. So if you do want to go to the seven, which is like in more than an octave away, you could add some skips in there, which is completely okay. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but so you could go one and two and three and four and one, right? So I added some thirds in there. Scalar motion, steps, and skips are the most prevalent type of motion in improvisation anyway. So scalar motion or steps or thirds, like skips like this. Right? All of those things are the most prevalent motions in jazz anyway. So you're going to be practicing a good thing. So you could go one and two and three and four and one, right? So we're practicing the connection of chord tones. Now, again, you can start to go from the third now to the root, third to the third, third to the fifth, and practice that however you want. Now, if you're not that type of person, no problem. You don't have to practice it like this, you know? Moving through your 2-5s or your 2-5-1s is going to be great. So at this point, you can just start to practice spontaneity. So put a metronome on and just start on a chord tone and land on a chord tone. But right now, we're using all eighth notes. So go slowly, like 50 beats BPM. But put that metronome on for some pressure now, right? One and two and three and four and, you know, excuse me. One and two and three and four and one. I was thinking we were in a different key. And then you just keep going around. Again, three, four, one, and two, and three, and four, and one, two, three, four. Now, there's a lot of different fun ways you can do now. You can start to lead back into the D minor again. So you can just keep looping it, which would sound like this. One, and two, and three, and four, and one, and two, and three, and four, and one. And two, so I landed on the five there. One and two and three and four and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one. So you just keep going over and over and over again. And you're training your mind to break through this mental barrier of connecting into the new harmony, the new chord, which is the number one thing that I hear students fail at. Usually when they connect in the chord, they might play something like this. Right, and then they start playing all weird sorts of notes or a non-chord tone, which again, non-chord tones are okay. But as a beginner, we really want to try and focus on those chord tones. So how do we start to get more advanced with this? Well, excuse me, if you know other types of miscellaneous improvisational tools, you can start to add those in. You can make the progressions longer. So you could go 2-5-1s, and maybe I use an altered scale over the dominant chord, right? So now my goal is to connect into a chord tone, use the altered scale over the dominant chord, and then connect back into my C major 7. So it might sound like this. One and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and one. Now we're getting out, right? We're getting a little out there, right? I could use a different type of improv tool, like a blues scale if I wanted, over the dominant chord. One and two and three and four and chord tone first, and then my blues scale. Chord tone. Scalar motion, right? So we're working on the connection now, the connection between the chords. Flip a metronome on, start to apply some pressure. But how do we start to take this exercise and make music out of it? Let's go back to if you're a beginner just for a second. Musicality, space, rhythm, And motifs, melodies are what makes music come alive. Now, the foundation I just teach you is still there. It's still there. So once we start to add space, rest, rhythm, motifs, right, it's going to make music. So instead of just going up and down on eighth notes, I'm now going to apply some rhythms, some motifs, some melodies. Check it out. One, two, three, and four, and one. Right? So I'm utilizing the same exercise. I'm still landing on those chord tones and trying to land on the chord tones, but I'm utilizing musicality now, like how music is actually made. I'm not just playing all eighth notes up and down. That's just our starting point. And if I start to go a little bit faster with this, with a metronome, a little bit more swing, it'll sound like this. Right? And you just keep doing this. Now, again, you can start to get way more advanced with this. If you're a more advanced player, you could play some rootless voicings, right? Again, like I showed you, you can use your altered scale, different types of tools to connect in. You can up the speed, right? So again, if I were using my half whole scale maybe, right? So, now, believe it or not, that what I just played there was the entirety of the exercise I just showed you at a very high speed with left hand, more advanced left hand voicings, obviously jumping back and forth, musicality added, but at the heart of it, and then I was using my half whole scale, but at the heart of it, I was still connecting into the chord tones every time, excuse me, the chord changed. And that's the purpose of this exercise, is to get you to these places. Right? Now you can take this way more advanced too. You can start to go in half steps or 2-5. So one of the exercises I love doing is going 2-5. So A minor 7, D 7, A flat minor 7, D flat 7, G minor 7, C 7. And again, you can use this with scalar motion, all eighth notes. So I'm gonna play some more advanced voicings here. Right, so I'm still connecting to my chord tones, just moving up and down with scalar motion. Now I'd change my key. Now I'm in F sharp. Right? And you can just keep going. Now, obviously, if you start to do that fast with a little metronome, a little pressure, it's going to start to get pretty difficult, right? So again, we're always trying to target those chord tones. So if I start on the 5 here, woo, and then you start to flow and move into, I made some mistakes there, right? This is not an easy exercise. But again, I'm not always playing eighth note lines that move into each other. I may add some musicality. So I might go. And then you can start to obviously play more licks if you have more language and things like that. You can use more tools. But at the heart of it, the exercise still stays the same. And again, you can start to change up your progressions. Maybe instead of 2-5s, you go 1-4-3-6-2-5-1. And you start from scratch again. So now, right? So I'm just moving through that exercise. And then again, if I go a little bit faster, don't pay attention to my left hand because I'm just kind of comping for my right hand. You can use root position chords or whatever voicings are at your level. So, now again, if you know bebop approaches, you can start to add those in as another tool to kind of like increase the difficulty level of this, right? So, key of C. So, right. So I added more bobs and wees through the use of bebop approach notes. If I wanted to throw in some reharms, right, instead of the F7, I could go to my tritone. I could go B7, B flat 7, A7 altered and practice my altered scale if I wanted, right? So C, B, B flat, A flat altered, D minor, maybe tritone again, into my C chord. So the exercise is about utilizing the tools you know, musicality, and making connections between chords. Because I'll tell you this one thing before I go let you go. The number one reason that solos really don't start to sound good or don't sound good from beginners and even intermediate students and players that I hear, they could have all these licks under their hands. They could be playing. But if I land on some sort of, you know, a non-chord tone, not to say that you can't land on non-chord tones. That's a more advanced topic for a later discussion about using delayed resolutions and things like that. But if you're playing a lot of non-chord tones and landing on them, even with the most fancy licks and stuff like that, trust me, your solo and your melodic lines are just not going to sound good, okay? So whatever level you're at, start to use this exercise. Play it slowly. Excuse me. You don't even need your left hand. You could just practice your right hand with iRoll Pro. Whatever is necessary for you, just utilize this exercise at whatever level you're at. And I promise you, you're going to start to see amazing improvisational results in a very, very quick amount of time. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Talk to you later.